reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is found in the Book of Amos. It's on page 980 in your pew Bibles. We read Amos chapter 6, beginning at verse 1.
Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over to Calna and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? O you who put far away the day of disaster, and bring near the seat of violence. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our second reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 3, found on page 1271, and we read verses 1 through 13. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to too much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. O Lord, have mercy on us. Let us rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1120. And we read Luke 16, beginning at verse 19. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with that which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. Besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' And he said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is your gospel lesson, and focusing on this part of the conversation between the rich man and Abraham, where he says, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." This is our text. Please be seated. A number of years ago now, while one of my sons was away at college, he invited a friend to go with him to church. The friend didn't come from a Lutheran background, although they had some experience with churches. They claimed to be Christian. I think it was an Advent service that they went to. My guess is they probably used Vespers like we traditionally do. The Word of God was read. Beautiful hymns drawn from Scripture were sung. There was a sermon, and at least according to my son, it was a very good sermon. Represented the words of Scripture read earlier very well. After the service was concluded and my son and his friend were driving home, he said to his friend, "Well, what did you think? And the friend looked at him and said, you know, I just didn't get anything out of it. And being that this friend had claimed to be Christian, had gone to church, he was somewhat amazed by that response and said back to his friend, you heard the word of God read, did you not? Friend said, yes. We sang hymns based on God's word. Yes. Was the sermon not about the word of God? Oh, yes, it was. How could you not get anything out of that? And the friend had no answer. A different situation. It's the day of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's already met with the women who went to the grave. He's already visited and appeared to his apostles, although Thomas was missing at the time. All Jerusalem is buzzing with news of his resurrection. And there's two of his disciples who, somewhat like Thomas, are still depressed. They've heard from the women. They've heard from the apostles that somebody has risen from the dead. Yet it just doesn't seem to matter. They're on the way to the road to Emmaus, and Jesus begins to walk along with them. Although he somehow keeps his presence hid from them, he begins a conversation. They're somewhat dumbfounded by his ignorance, they think, of what's been going on. Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard? About what? They tell him about all the events that they themselves have heard but not yet believed. And then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he begins to explain to them the meaning of the word. And as they would later testify, as he's explaining that word, that same word we have in Scripture today, their hearts began to burn. The rich man in our parable for today was probably a Pharisee. If you look at the context of this parable, Jesus was still addressing the Pharisees who had mocked him for eating with the tax collectors and others who the Pharisees regarded as sinners. He probably went to the synagogue every week. He probably heard Moses and the prophets, but that's not what he was really looking for or interested in. The words that he was hearing spoken, he never applied to his own heart. For had he done that and seen poor Lazarus at his gate every day, a man who had nothing but misery in life, a man to whom even the smallest act of kindness would have been a most precious and valued treasure, he ignored and passed by. It's not that he didn't have the word. But he was always looking for something more. Like so many of his own age did, like people still do today. But in the end, it's not the beauty of a sanctuary, the size of a choir. Do you have professional musicians playing along with you? It's that simple word. That word we have in Scripture. That word we have on our hearts. That is the one and only thing that ultimately makes a difference, not just for this life, but for all eternity. And that's the way God wants it to be, because God wants salvation to be simple. He knows how frail and weak that we are. That's why he sent his Son and Jesus into this world, to take upon himself all of our sins, to go to the cross and pay all the penalty for them, to live the life all of us should have been living, so that the gift of salvation may be possessed even by people like Lazarus, or like you and I. What made it possible for somebody like Lazarus, so lowly, so weak, probably uneducated, miserable in life, what made it possible for him to ride up to heaven carried by angels? It was simple faith in the words of promise we have in Moses, the prophets, and now made even more clear in the words of the apostles. That's always how God works, not through complicated things, but through simple things. So, is there some outward act you have to do to become a Christian? Okay. Yeah, it's called baptism. Water, the most plentiful substance on the face of the earth. A couple of words. If you can remember Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know all the words that are necessary to be spoken at baptism. What could be more simple? What could be more easy? And yet in that simple act, God visually and physically declares all your sins are washed away. Bread, wine, simple things. But by these very things, the Son of God Himself comes to us, gives us His very own body and blood to reassure us that God is with us, that God dwells within us, and that the forgiveness and the life that He has promised to us truly belong to our very own flesh and blood. Simple words, simple acts. God intentionally chooses these things. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians, he reminds them what they were when God called him. Not many were wise by human standards. Not many were strong. But God chose the weak things of the world to shame the wise. He chooses the lowly things, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. It's those simple words. As I was reminded again this morning, comforting a family whose loved one is soon going home to be with Christ. Those simple words of promise are what sustain us, what restore us when life is tearing us down, what give us hope when there's no hope that can be seen with these eyes of flesh. Let them hear Moses and the prophets. It's a simple thing, and God chose to make it that way. May God grant that we never get so caught up in the complexities of life, in the complexities of worship, in the complexities of church life, and we forget what truly matters. But let us also remember, as we are reaching out to other people, people who don't share our hope, people who are all caught up with the world and have forgotten about God, who are all concerned with this life and not thinking about the life to come, that it's not going to be shows that change them. It's not going to be spectacular things that we can do. It's going to be the simple words that we share with them. May God help us to those who are lost to share with them ourselves the one thing that really changes human hearts and the one thing that ultimately saves. And that is the word of Christ that we have in Scripture, and that word of Christ which comes to us in baptism and our Lord's Supper. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001, by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.